none other than my partner, Jesse Agler, enjoying some off time as I am. Jesse, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's got to be Scooble, right? Like, that one's not going to be all that close, I don't think.
I don't think it should be, but, you know. And, you know, based on all the other votes, it probably will go exactly as we're talking about. Scooble wins.
Can I get myself in trouble, like, right off the bat?
Yeah, go ahead. Please, why not?
So I'm looking at the Merrill one the other day, and, like, the line-by-line of who voted for whom, right? And, Tony, you know, you and I both, we are very aware of the media landscape in baseball. We read every person who writes every word about this stupid sport. I can't tell you how many of those voters I had never heard of.
There we go.
You know what's funny is we said the same thing yesterday. The ones I did know disappointed me a little bit. But, you know, that's...
Like I read everything written about this stupid sport. Everything. All season long. And, like, there should not be that many names that were unrecognizable to me. And I'm not trying to, like, you know what, all over the BBWAA, because I think they've gotten much, much, much better in the last, call it, like, 8, 9, 10 years than they used to be with this stuff, you know, especially when it comes to the Hall of Fame. They've kind of weeded out some of the silliness. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, this is these awards, especially now that they're tied into things like draft picks and all that, like, we got to be a little bit more serious about, I think, who's doing this. And I mean, I don't know. It's their organization, it's their award, but because MLB is using it to determine real things with real consequences, I think a little introspection might be in order.
Yeah, only seven first place votes seems a little unserious when it boils down to 30 teams. Just saying.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about that particular scenario, right? I think Jackson, as much as we talked about it, and it was funny how it kind of broke down, right? I mean, he didn't really come onto the national stage, ironically, until the start of that road trip in Pittsburgh, where he had the walk-off or the late-inning heroics in Pittsburgh and in Miami. And then you come back home, and he continues to do the same thing he's been doing all year, but you're not on East Coast time. You're not necessarily having seventh, eighth, ninth-inning heroics every single night. And it just, you could, as we played out that season, just you can kind of just feel the air kind of slowly seeping out the balloon, if you will, as we got further away from the East Coast. Because remember, we finished the year, the last 2 weeks was all West Coast, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, you would love to say that that's not a factor, but it is.
Yeah.
Especially, again, when you're considering who's voting for this stuff, and it's not people who are, like, necessarily locked in on, you know, Major League Baseball every night until 1 o'clock in the morning in New York, when Jackson's games would end. You know, when I first came to San Diego over a decade ago, I would always roll my eyes when people would talk about, oh, the East Coast bias and, you know, da 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 da. But now, with experience and life lived here, oh yeah, it's a real thing. And it's not that they don't like West Coast teams or West Coast players. It's that they are not exposed to them as much as they are exposed to the East Coast players because of, as we just said, like, time zones. I mean, it's kind of like a simple, you know, problem or a simple solution to an elegant problem, I guess, because Jackson should have been, to me, having watched as much baseball as I did this year, I saw it as like a coin toss. Like, if we're being totally intellectually honest about it, I thought it was a coin flip kind of decision between he and Skeens. Very different, obviously, in terms of what they do and how they go about it. But, like, when you really consider the true value of a starting pitcher and you really consider what Jackson did, like, I had it as a toss-up. And so for it to be as lopsided as it was in regards to those first place votes you brought up, it doesn't add up. And I think that's got to be a big piece of it.
So, Jess, what are we missing? Are our eyes biased? Because we made the point about, you know, East Coast, West, or East Coast bias. But when you look at the vote breakdown, there were plenty of folks here on the West Coast that got to see him a lot more than the folks on the West Coast did. I think it was four guys. Two in Arizona. Was it two in Arizona?
We're talking East Coast, right?
No, we're talking West Coast.
We're talking West Coast. I did the East Coast counting.
I don't know why. I believe it was two in Colorado, two in Arizona. Are our eyes being biased here? Because clearly the folks here out on the West saw the same thing.
Yeah, I think, look, the numbers speak for themselves. like, the, you know, is he, are we biased towards him? Yeah, of course. We interact with him on a day-to-day basis. We both think he's a great kid. You know, we talk to his parents, for goodness sake. Right, so, like, right. Of course we have our own bias. And I'm not going to, like, put any of that aside. You know, but, like, the numbers that he put up, the numbers that are going to be on his baseball reference page forever for the 2024 season and are on the back of his rookie card, those are legit. Those yeah. are legit. And look, he finished second. Let's not act like he was left off the ballot.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, there was a recognition around the country that, you know, he had a great season. So I don't want to act like Jackson's not getting any credit or anything like that, because I don't think that's the case. But look, man, storylines matter.
Yes.
Narratives matter.
Yes.
And when Skeens came out to make his major league debut in May, it was like a really big deal, right? When Jackson made his major league debut, it was 3 o'clock in the morning in Los Angeles, and we were
right.
on the other side of the world.
Right.
And it wasn't that, oh, all eyes were on him. It was all eyes are on Shohei Ohtani. Of course, the eyes that were actually opened, which were not many of them, because for whatever reason, MLB wanted to play that game in the middle of the night local time. So, you know, just from that standpoint, you kind of got off to different starts. Jackson had to sort of earn the early season recognition, whereas Skeens, it was ready-made, right? It was
yeah.
turnkey. The very second he took the mound for his major league debut, which I think was at Wrigley. I remember watching it in some hotel somewhere. You know, it was already a big deal. He's got the famous girlfriend. I mean, there's like a million things that go into it like that. And so, yeah, like if early in May, your random voter X in Milwaukee, St. Louis, wherever, you know about Paul Skeens. You're probably locked into his major league debut, which was pretty impressive. You have an awareness of Jackson Merrill, but you're not following him day to day, which, of course, is much more important for a position player than it is a starting pitcher. And so, yeah, I think you put all those things in the hopper and you end up, I guess, with the result that we got.
Great segue. You mentioned Major League Baseball deciding to play that game in the middle of the night here in the States. Major League Baseball has some pretty big ideas, all yeah. really kind of surrounding 2028. I think everybody knows that there has been a bit of a hiccup, if you will. I think that's the politest way you can say it, and how the local deals have ended up turning out. Major League Baseball has this grand plan of basically at some point being able to own the rights to all the teams and kind of divvying up the way the NBA does, right? They sell a bunch of national packages, and, you know, based on the article that I read from Evan Drellich today, the rest would kind of be divvied up. ESPN kind of wants to handle the local part of it. I thought this was a fascinating story, and there's so many different tentacles that are kind of involved with this whole idea. What are your thoughts on this in terms of how this could end up working out in the end?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. Like, I think you'd be very hard to make an argument that this is not the biggest story in Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL.
Yeah.
The NFL obviously is on its own program. It's all national, right? There's no local telecasting. So it's kind of off to the side and doing quite fine for itself, obviously. But, you know, for those other three leagues, there is no more important thing happening right now, because those leagues have benefited greatly from what I think it's fair to call a bubble that
yeah.
has burst. You know, we all remember the real estate bubble and what happened, you know, two decades ago and the changing of the economy. That's basically what's happening on a much smaller and less significant scale with these, you know, regional sports networks, which for a long time were pumping a tremendous amount of money into the teams. That bubble has burst. That money is no longer there. And so, yeah, Rob Manfred, you know, put on his little thinking cap and he's come up with this idea. You like the visual of, like, you know, all right, if we're able to get everybody in the same pool, we can go to the Amazon, the Netflix, the ESPN, the Hulu's, whoever, right? And, you know, put these packages together that we can maybe get somewhere close to the amount of money per team that we used to get. And that sounds great, and it sounds sensible and logical, and it is. It's all of those things. It is also, as I'm sure you guys have talked about and as people have read about, extremely, extremely difficult.
Yes.
You know, I mean, because, yeah, the Padres and the Diamondbacks would say, yeah, cool, let's do it. But the Dodgers and the Yankees would laugh,
right.
You know, and probably hang up the phone before Rob finished his sentence. But that's where it is today.
Yeah.
And there are two more years, you know, before this really becomes a little bit more imminent. And what he wants to do, look, baseball is very strategic the last few years. They don't say things publicly for
yeah.
no reason.
Great
like
point.
This. We heard about the pitch clock years before the pitch clock actually happened. Then it was in the minor leagues, and then eventually it got here. They know what they're doing. You know, he knows what he's doing by having a little bit of like a coordinated media blitz here this week talking about, you know, 2028 and wanting to do this. So that tells me that maybe the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Cubs and the Red Sox of the world are a little bit more receptive to this than we might all think. I don't have any inside info, but it's going out on a ledge if you're Rob Manfred, who's, by the way, says he doesn't want to be commissioner much longer after
that's right.
that. So he's trying to set this thing up, make it his legacy.
That's right.
That this would be a thing. So he's shooting a shot. He's swinging for the fences, and you know we'll see how it goes. But look, it's really, really complex. It's really, really fascinating. It's very real money at stake. It will be a big part of the CBA negotiations. Remember, the CBA only 2 more years left on it, 25 and 26. So presumably 28, when he says all of this could be happening, is going to be part of the next CBA. Are the owners going to use this to try and get a salary cap in there? Because remember, like NBA, NHL, you know, they've got salary caps, and basically all the revenue, every bit of revenue, merchandise, tickets, everything is split between the players and the owners. It's a very different situation in baseball, where there's you know, different pots go different places because there is no salary cap. So there's a lot of stuff going on with it. I'm fascinated to see how it all turns out. The reality is we are in a moment of great disruption in the cable industry, and that's going to hit those three leagues very, very hard.
I likened it to herding cats because, I mean, you have so many different areas. It does. It seems like a great idea. It is a great idea. But you're also going to have to get the players' union in on this as well, which we know can be a sticky situation. So we got.
Yeah, if you're Tony Clark, what's your motivation, right?
Right.
You're like, all right, if I'm gonna help you down this path, like where is it? What's in it for my guys? And they better have a good answer to that question,
right? Because what we do know is that for years, for as long as they've been having this, players have been absolutely steadfast against the salary cap. And so if it's going to start there, you can imagine this is going to be an extremely tough negotiation. But I think the most important part is when there's a will, there's a way. And you mentioned it. This is a legacy deal for Rob Manfred. So he has a vested interest in seeing this get done and be a part of his legacy as he exits. Jesse.
For sure. And look, he can do it without the Dodgers and the Yankees. He can do it with 20 teams. He can do it with 22 teams. He can do it with 17 teams. And like for the fans of those teams, that will be great. But he's not going to be able to sell it for nearly as much and get in the amount of money that he wants, you know, to whatever streamer or operator that he wants to without, you know, those marquee teams.
One of the things that was said in that article was they think it can get done because it's likely trading, you know, basically trading, right? Apparently right now the revenue sharing is at a certain level. That would most certainly have to drop if you are going to bring along a Yankees and Dodgers who are pretty much printing money because of their own TV rights and owning all of their own stuff to get them involved in it. But at least the way Rob Manfred was talking at this point, he seems to be spinning on the positive side of this happening. They got some time to figure it out. Jesse, as always, man, appreciate you coming on and spending some time with it. I hope you're enjoying some time off finally, my friend.
Yeah, you too, although obviously lesser than me because you're there every day. But, yeah, man, always a pleasure and anytime, of course.
Thanks, Jesse.